This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, 3 minutes past 4 p.m. Only a few days left to get your tickets to DGS 5. It's going to sell out. There are less than 100 tickets left, so if you're even thinking about it, please do it. I think it's going to be one of the best we've ever done. 971talk.com/DGSLive. Coming up at 5 o'clock, we're going to do your paranormal. So your stories, anything paranormal at all. We used to do this all the time back in the day when we did Paranormal Tuesday, and it was always a bunch of fun. Put it out on social media, have a whole bunch of responses. So that's a little bit after five, just 1 hour from now. I think I know where I want to go for Halloween this year.
Yes.
I've been listening to Astonishing Legends, and they have, get this, Tony, 13 and a half hour podcast.
Oh,
on
nice.
The Sally House, which Whoa. Is in, you know it?
Yeah, oh, yes.
It's in Atchison, Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a dinky little house. And I've listened to the first 3 hour episode. I know more about that house than my house.
Yep.
And I'm going to reach out this week to the people that run it
mm-hmm.
and drop the Astonishing Legends guy's name. And hopefully get in there overnight and do an investigation. I think that would be great. It just seems like this really does, and I trust these guys. I don't think these guys are like fakers or, you know, true believers. And one of them had an experience that they keep referencing that like completely changed his life. And I'm just looking at the website and like everyone who goes in there, something happens. Things spontaneously combust. People get scratched up like, let's go.
Extremely.
Scratched up?
Like, yeah, I'll show you the website. Literally scratched up.
Extremely famous location in the paranormal world, the Sally House.
Well, those guys were talking about it, right, when they were on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What had happened to him in that house, that guy? I can't remember. Was it a...
I don't know yet.
Was it a... Oh.
I haven't gotten there.
Okay.
I could go ahead and... Or I could just Google it, but I don't want to. I want to find out in the 13th hour of this podcast. Mm-hmm.
It is a tiny little house in the middle of a subdivision.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Little, small, little sleepy Atchison, Kansas.
Does somebody own it? Like a private person owns it now?
I know. They pretty much just, it exists for tours.
But yeah, no, I don't think anybody lives in it anymore.
Okay. No.
But they left it the way, it's completely left the way it was when somebody did live there.
Yeah, there was like the Pickneys, I believe, back in the 70s or 80s, had just like horrific stuff happen.
Yep.
So, Ryan, could you do that?
Unbelievable.
With your religious beliefs, could you go into a house like that?
Oh, I could go in. My fear is that nothing would happen. Because I feel like God is more powerful than whatever that is. Therefore, if I walk in, I would destroy the show. That seems like an arrogant way to go about it.
Yes, it does. Quite cocky. Single-handedly wreck the DGS Halloween special.
Yes.
Because I didn't know Ryan Wiggins was coming.
Because but don't you you're think- God?
No, because the Holy Spirit lives in me, therefore it's overcoming
whatever. But do you think you would be provoking the Holy Spirit by going to a place like that if you knew it was haunted and you knew it was demonic in some way? Do you think that could upset the Holy Spirit?
No, because you would interact with people all the time who probably have all kinds of spiritual issues and places and no, not at all.
Would it shake your faith if you went in and a bunch of stuff happened and you ended up being the guy that got all scratched up?
Yeah. Yeah, that would mess with me. I guess that would be kind of part of doing the show this year, is to see if anything like that would happen. But are you talking about things really like suddenly catching on fire and people physically manifesting scratches?
That's what I'm talking about.
Mm, yeah.
I mean, those are the stories.
Yeah,
I can't vouch for them because I wasn't there, but that's over and over and over again.
But that's what the DGS Halloween show is about, is investigating to see if those things are real, right?
Yeah. I have a real question. You guys ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
So, I was walking down, I think, 7th Street today, right by Pharaoh's Donuts, and there's a ramp that goes up into a parking garage, and there's clearly someone living under the ramp. Like, you know, boxes and sleeping bags. Yep. That's someone's home.
Yep.
I own two homes. I mean, it's a cabin, but it's a home.
Mm-hmm.
It costs as much as my home. If put aside Christianity, if you're just a good person, I think I'm a good person. Why don't I just sell that home and try to help the people who are living under ramps? I don't. You don't. You know, it's like we don't do those things, even though we walk by where people are clearly living under a ramp every day. And I think we justify it, at least I do, either saying, oh, I do nice stuff. I do enough. Slash, they just piss away whatever I gave them. They're obviously there for a reason. They've screwed up their life. If I sell my cabin and share the money with the needy, they're just going to dick it up somehow. But like today, walking by and seeing that, it was just like...
So what should you do?
That's the question. Because it's a real thing. And the chances of me selling my cabin and giving that money to these people are almost non-existent.
One person?
Like no, no,
you
no.
Would give
just
all
like,
the money to
no,
one
no,
person?
No, no, no. Just helping out people who are living... Like, basically... How can I have two homes while right. people are living under ramps?
You sound like a socialist.
I know. That's exactly it.
Well, but that's wouldn't that be a lot of socialist point?
Yes.
You say leave it to the private sector and let people, you know, do what's on their own heart and help themselves, because that's the best way is to do it charitably, but you're not doing it. So why not have the government step in and do it for you? Because you have so much.
And it's not even so much a government thing. I see where you're going, but it's more of an existential thing. Like, just as we're human animals living on this earth, and some of us have so much, and some of us have so little, that I understand why people say, yeah, it should all be, you know, not even from like a governmental standpoint. I'm not talking about taxing the rich or wealth distribution. I'm just talking about as we live our lives. I got another 30, 40, 50 years tops to live on this earth, then I'm dead. And I'm either in heaven or hell or the ground, because there's neither. But I will have lived a life and made decisions. And I would like to be someone who saw someone living under a ramp and said, you know what? I'm selling my place and I'm going to give the money to the poor. But I'm not that guy.
I think if you set up, this is just my opinion, but just kind of charitable giving out of your paycheck every how often you want to do it. And you organize
which
we
do.
It, and
we do every monthly charitable donations taken straight out of the paycheck.
Yeah, and
adopt a family every Christmas.
Whatever it is, and if you feel overwhelmed by it, you could take it by pick the charity and do it out of every single paycheck. You could spread it to you know the ones you want. That to me is how you do it.
Yeah, and I mean,
I agree, but sometimes I feel really, for lack of a better word, convicted of like, is that just me? Making myself feel better, doing something that's comfortable for me.
But that's an active, well, you mean you'd rather be more active to physically help them in some way?
No, like, wouldn't it be wonderful to do something completely uncomfortable? I'm not saying I'm that guy. I'm calling myself out that clearly I haven't been.
So one big act?
I don't know, just even the, just, you know, hey, I've got enough. I'm making X amount of dollars. I can live on X minus 80%, you know, I'm just going to give the rest to these guys. I would like to be that person.
What's preventing you from doing that?
Do yeah, it.
Have at.
I think reality.
But there are, this is 2019 America, there are lots of big organizations and ministries that they're entirely devoted to certain causes like that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You could just take X amount of dollars from your paycheck and give it to that ministry. But you're not.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is why, if you feel so convicted?
Because the point I'm making is that I think it is...
Because, and you're saying that you talk yourself down from doing those things by coming up with excuses like it wouldn't really make that big of an impact.
Yeah.
But if you got involved with like our friends at the St. Patrick Center, I think it's like $5,000 or something, that puts someone in temporary housing.
Yeah.
To where, and then that provides them with a job. That truly gets someone on their feet. So you can't really look at that and say like, okay, so I'm going through this reputable organization who's working directly with making the homeless not homeless anymore. There's kind of no excuse when you look at it from that way.
I don't get what you're
because,
saying.
Well, because you're saying, no, like, no, 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 I don't I'm do not, it because...
No. I'm not making an excuse. I'm just saying that sometimes I marvel that we can go to our summer cabin while people live under ramps. I don't understand how you guys aren't getting this. I'm not asking for practical advice.
Right.
I'm just saying that it screws with my soul sometimes.
That the human species is one that look at a portion of their population that is in such dire straits while also going to their vacation homes.
Yes.
Yeah. I get it.
Yeah. That 95% of the time, I can feel pretty good about what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And then 5% of the time, I'm like, you're such a liar. Such a poser. Someone's going to sleep under that ramp tonight while you go home to one of your two houses. And then I feel like the biggest piece of crap.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, guys. DGS. Going kind of back to what we were just talking about. It's everything in life is relative, and at my level of success, I could give some money and help some people out, or like I said, sell my cabin, whatever. When I try to imagine like very wealthy people, multi millionaires, if I feel guilty about going to my cabin in Innsbruck because someone's living under a ramp, can you imagine being Bezos? Or, and I know that most, well, I don't think he gives very much, but like Bill and Melinda Gates give billions.
Buffett.
And yet they still have billions.
Right.
Like that would really have to, everyone has to work it out themselves. Like, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to volunteer. I'm going to give this much money. I'm going to do nothing. I'm going to go buy more cars, whatever your decision is. But it really must be when you are the ultra rich, you got to wrestle with that.
Well, that's the question we were talking about off air that we were kind of getting to in that break that we kind never quite got to is really what you were asking is everybody's got that guilt or at least at some point have. Maybe they've burned it off by now. But what do you do with that conscience that's tugging at you? Do you throw it out?
Mm-hmm.
Do you just say, I'm not going to listen to it? Do you kind of, or do you go full in?
Well, it really made sense like in the Bible when the rich man approaches Jesus and says, I've done everything. I follow all the rules. What else can I do? And he says, sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And he's like, see you later.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that even back when I was a teenager reading that, I'm like, that makes sense.
Yeah, because I mean, wasn't he approaching Jesus to feel better rather than to make a difference?
You know what? I don't know. I bet you my guess is he was approaching Jesus with a really pure heart. But Jesus called him out. You know, I bet he really felt like, I really do. I do so much and I want to do more. What more can I do? Sell everything you have and give it away. And at that moment, I bet he was like, oh, crap, I'm not going to do that.
And since we're talking Bible and you're talking about rich people versus poor people, you talk about the widow's mite thing, too, where she gives a penny. The rich people are given a lot more. And Jesus looks at that woman and says, now she gave more.
Which also makes sense.
Yeah. It's the sacrifice.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily the dollar amount.
Yeah, what did that mean? Like when Bill and Melinda Gates give $1 billion, there are people out there who could give $1,000, and that's giving more.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it amazing that even as a non-religious person, it's so much of that is just true. Like those parables, those stories, I don't care who you are. Like, I'm not an atheist, but if an atheist looks at that and scoffs at it, you're stupid. Because there's so much wisdom in that. Hello, Dave.
Hello there.
Boy, existential talk here.
Yeah, now just to be fair, Bezos just gave away a lot of money.
And I'm not being fair.
To his ex-wife.
I thought I had read that he had given away like less than 1% or something like that.
Yeah, I don't think he does give a lot. Not like a Bill Gates or a Warren Buffett.
Yeah, which again, it's his money. You know, right. He can do what he wants. But
yep.
But I would have a hard time living with that. Just knowing I've got $100 billion in the bank, you know, that'd be tough. Could drive you crazy.
Yeah, I think if you've got that kind of money, you should at least say, hey, you know what? Let's take X amount of dollars and we're going to do something good with it.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's gotta be a substantial amount of money.
And I would think, I can only imagine what it's like to be Bill and Melinda Gates, but I would imagine that what they do with their foundation is the happiest thing in their life.
I'm sure
they live very
That's
well.
What he talks about the
mansions
most.
Yeah. And private jets and yachts that would rock.
Buffett's the same way. It seems to be what really motivates them, and that it really gives them joy is to use that money in a philanthropic way.
Yeah. Do you think we're just going to continue this for a moment?
Sure.
Would you think that, let's say you have $10,000?
Mm-hmm.
Would you think, what's your gut? Because I know we've all heard, well, don't give it to people on the street because they're going to drink it or shoot it or what have you. While there are struggling families out there, that $10,000 might really get them from here to there.
Mm-hmm.
Which do you feel like, just your gut, would be the better use of that money?
Well, I wouldn't know how to identify who the right person, where's the money, because those are part of the homeless population are people that truly can be helped, and you can give them the leg up that will get them back on their feet and it'll be very productive. But there are also ones that have different issues. And so I would work with an organization that is trained at identifying how to help each group. You know, for people that are like this, this is the best thing that you can do
for
them.
That's the key.
But people rarely...
That's the key. You gotta find an organization.
I need to... Yeah, exactly.
But I think people rarely think about really helping those families. I think most of us think about helping, let's help the absolute worst. Let's help someone who's sleeping under a ramp. However, people like the working poor, who are really trying and busting their ass and just not making it, that same money could really stabilize them.
Yeah.
But at least me, I don't think of that, and I don't know how many real organizations there are for that. It's just like, oh, you're just one of us trying to make your way.
Right.
We want to help people under the ramp because that like makes us feel better.
Mm.
See what I'm saying?
I think most organizations actually do focus more on the people that you're talking about.
Yes.
Because they are good at identifying who is going to benefit from the help and who's going to not. Because some people are going to get the help and it's going to do nothing. And then other people, like you're talking about, it's a matter of identifying them, and there are organizations that are really, really good at doing that. And that's the people that you're talking about, I think.
Yeah.
The other thing about when you're rich, the hypothetical always comes up, if you had a lot of money, would you do it? What would you do with it? Who would you help, you know, and how much? But I that's so unrealistic because almost nobody, other than people who just, boom, win the lottery, get there like that. It's got to be a discipline that starts when you don't have anything. And then by the time you become Warren Buffett, well, let's do it all then. And I think that's why people like that do get so much joy from doing that, whereas Bezos maybe doesn't.
And there is not, like I said, and I, again, just to paint an example, not to say, hey, look at me. We make monthly donations to a charity. We do things during the holidays like adopt a family, and we do other things throughout the year where we do things for charity. Could we do more? Of course we could do more. So I'm not saying, but also to your point of give everything away or when you said earlier, make yourself uncomfortable, you know, to help somebody else out. I also don't think and will never be convinced that there's something wrong with also benefiting from your own hard work and giving your family
That you should not feel guilty.
Yeah, right. Giving your children things that other people don't have because you
take care of yourself.
Yes. Well, yeah, and I mean, and take care of, yes, but also give them the
luxuries.
Some of the luxuries and spoils of life that you have been able to create. And if you if somebody looks at that and says that that's evil, I can't go there with you. I don't begrudge people for enjoying the spoils that their hard work has earned them. Now, if you do all that and you don't give a dime to charity, I'm going to look at you kind of like as a selfish jerk.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that it makes you a bad person
if you look at that person as a selfish jerk, how do you look at the prototypical leftist, socialist, eat the rich, who makes 40 grand a year and gives nothing, but they're constantly virtue signaling,
yeah,
online warrior, social justice. What if the rich guys
do really nothing? Yeah,
absolute hypocrite.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Basically, I'm not going to do anything, but I want the government to come and tell not only me what to do, but everybody else needs to subscribe to what I think that I should be doing and not doing on my own.
It seems like if someone makes $10 million a year and you're picketing outside their company because they should be giving 90% of it, you should be giving 90% of your 30 or 40 grand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If you truly believe that.
Yeah, if you truly believe that.
Not to be contrarian, but wouldn't the reverse argument be, well, I would give 90% because a lot of that money would be coming back to me through government programs. Right now it's not. Right? I can't live on 10% of my income because if it were socialist, my health care, my everything would be taken care of.
I would play fair, but things aren't fair, so I'm not going to play fair.
Yeah.
The other thing is I don't know why anybody would ever trust the government to do the right thing with a bunch of money.
And you can say it's an excuse, but it's a real thing for me. Like, I just look
at the government spending reports.
To me,
you think they're going to do the right thing?
Giving
with your money
to our government, the United States federal government,
or any government,
I think is no better than giving it to a warlord in Africa and thinking he's going to do the best thing for the local people.
No, I would much rather find a charity that and research them and make sure that they're, you know, that they are also not, you know, doing the wrong thing, and give it to an organization like that,
mm-hmm,
to help people, than to fund some government program that is going. I mean, look at the policy. I mean, how often do we talk about how unimpressive Congress people are and Senate? I mean, I'm not. Why would I just automatically think that they're going to do the right thing with whatever money we give them?
And even some of the like well-known private charities, wasn't it Wounded Warriors, where their executives were making $300,000 or $400,000 a year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of them, right?
What?
Right.
Now let's do some weather, Dave. What are we looking at?
Oh, summertime. Next 3 days.
Yes.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Upper 80s guaranteed. A couple of spots, maybe downtown, making a run at 90. Especially Friday, Saturday. Last time we were 90 plus October 6th of last year.
Wow.
Just some great weather coming up. Great weather. All is dry.
Cool. That's great.
You said we were over 90 on October 6th of last year?
We were 90 on October 6th. We were 91 on October 3rd.
Whoa. I remember that because that was the week that my air conditioner quit.
Of course it was.
That's how it works. It was late September, early October. It was still very hot and the air conditioner went out.
In the same way that 50 felt like 20 last week, 85 this weekend is going to feel like 110.
Oh, you know what? Right. There's going to be a lot of people, especially come Friday afternoon, probably not so much tomorrow, but Friday afternoon, Saturday afternoon, it's going to be, oh, well, now it's just too hot.
Mm-hmm. We have a very narrow band of comfort.
We are a fickle faith of human
And it's only
beings.
Been like, what, a couple generations since we had no air conditioning?
Yeah.
You go back into the 50s, yeah.
We didn't have it in school when I was a kid.
Me either.
Yeah, no, me neither.
Remember those big fans?
Yeah.
And you would just like wait until it oscillated to you and live the 3 seconds when it was hitting your face?
My parents had a huge fan like that. It was a monstrous fan because the houses were not AC'd.
Yeah.
And I wish to this day I had gotten that fan at some point.
Oh my God.
My folks were getting rid of stuff just because it's such a classic.
Yes. I respected and feared my parents, but I was ready to MF them when I was a kid, and it would be 98 degrees at night, and they wouldn't turn on our window unit.
Oh.
Because they would say, we have a window fan in the extra bedroom, and that cools it down just as well. And I was like, you lying sons of bitches.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, guys. DGS, P Minute Shy of 5 p.m. Your paranormal stories for Paranormal Wednesday coming up at the top of the hour. So if you have a really good ghost story, Bigfoot sighting, something weird, anything like that, I wouldn't call until around 5 because you're just going to hold on for 20 minutes. But please call in and Taliban will talk to you. So 7 p.m. tonight, I will be in the gazebo with the cold beer watching the Blues game. Most of us will be somewhere doing that. Frank Cusimano joins us now. Hello, Frank.
Good to be with you, Dave. I'm at the Enterprise Center as we speak, the calm before the storm, as we get ready for game 3 between the Blues and Sharks.
Man, last game, when that guy Couture scored twice in a minute and a half, and I told Nick, like, that could be the whole thing. That could be the whole series. That could be the whole year if we don't come back from this. And, man, what a great game.
Yeah, I think a lot of people felt that way. In fact, after that second goal was scored, which was basically another shorthanded goal, the penalty had just ended, I said the next time the Blues get a power play, they should decline.
I mean, no kidding.
They have been bad.
Yeah, they're 0 for their last 18. They are 2 for 28. They haven't scored a power play goal since game 4 of the Dallas series. But today at practice, Coach Berube changed some things around. He's going to have Colton Parayko out on the first team power play. That's a great move because he's got your hardest shot. When in doubt, just shoot. Just shoot, 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 shoot. And they also put Pat Maroon on the power play. So you get Colton Parayko shooting and Maroon in front of the net, maybe some good things will happen.
What's been the problem? Are they just trying too hard and they're not just shooting? Because that's what it seems like to me. Just freaking shoot.
Well, yeah, that's part of it. There's no doubt about it. Just shoot. Also, I think you have to give some credit to San Jose. They have the most athletic and skilled and fast defensemen in the league. So that has a lot to do with it. But the Blues have been flat out unorganized, and I appreciate Coach Berube trying to do something different and changing the lineup.
How good does Boston look right now, the Bruins?
Boy.
Oof.
It's scary. Now, last night was close, but they're up 3-0. Bottom line is, I think this is going to be a long series, and Boston is going to have a lot of rest. And, you know, there's a real theory out there. Is it better to rest when you could get rushed, or is it better to play a lot of games and come in, sharp? So we'll find out.
I don't think it. That is such like an ongoing, always, debate whether it's better to wrap it up early and get a bunch of rest, but then you're not. But then there's also something to be said for playing every other day and, never getting a chance to lose any motivation or drop the intensity. I don't think it matters either way. I could fight the argument either way, but I don't think it makes one bit of difference.
Unless it's a really long break, like, 7 or 8 days, which this one actually has the potential to be.
Yeah.
I think if the Blues go 7 games and Boston wins tomorrow night, it could be 10 or 11 days, by my calculation, that the Bruins wouldn't play.
Wow, yeah, because you have a Game 5 on Sunday, Game 6 on Tuesday, and then a Game 7 next Thursday. Yeah, you're right.
I'd like to see those calculations.
I could check your work in that Wiggins.
I couldn't tell if he was joking or I couldn't tell if he was being dry.
It's the magic of Wiggins. You never know.
Like, is he telling a joke? I can't.
So the poor Cardinals, I get it. I mean, we're in a Stanley Cup chase here, but, they're just getting ignored.
But
so.
They've been playing really bad, but they had a big game yesterday.
They did. They scored 14 runs, And Yadier Molina is defying father time. When is this guy going to get old? When is he going to become ineffective? Last night he homered and doubled. He's already got 30 RBIs on the season. You know, I think sometimes we take him for granted, but I think most people got to realize when he's done, he's headed straight to Cooperstown in the Hall of Fame the way it's going now.
I feel like they had a big game about a week ago where they scored a bunch of runs, and we kind of said the same thing. They'd been on a little bit of a losing streak, and they had a big game. They scored a bunch of runs, and we thought, all right, they're back on track, and then they went right back to losing. So,
I'll say this. The offense, with the exception of Matt Carpenter, the other seven starters are either performing at expectations or above expectations. I think this is a really good offense that just went through a bad 11-game stretch there. I think the offense is absolutely fine. It's going to be the pitching. Michael Wacha goes tonight, and even though his record, he's undefeated, he has not pitched well. It's going to be all about the pitching here for the Cardinals.
Yep.
Can I say something about Yadi? I've met him a few times. He is not impressive. You would never pick him out as an athlete, especially an elite athlete.
Right.
And you look at these guys who are like ripped and Charles Atlas and all this. This guy, he is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right, Dave. Yeah, he's not an apostle of fitness. He's not ripped up. And yeah, you're still right. It's amazing what he's done. Just appreciate. Go after you were done here with this. Go get down on your knees like Yadi does and try to sit there for about an hour and a half and then think about catching a 90-mile-an-hour fastball.
Do it for 5 minutes.
It's unbelievable.
I couldn't walk after squatting like that for 5 minutes.
Unbelievable.
He's amazing.
All right, Frank. Talk to you later, man.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.